This show is intended for informational purposes. You should consult your healthcare professional before starting any type of diet or workout program. Welcome to Under 10 Fitness with your host, Drew Smith. Real conversations with real people that really works. Reach your goals faster without the gimmicks. Get ready for a healthy dose of veggies and iron with Under 10 Fitness.
What's up and welcome to Under 10 Fitness. This is the show where we break down fitness 10 minutes at a time. My name is Drew Smith. I'm a personal trainer and competitive powerlifter, but I just love fitness and I love talking about fitness. And in the studio with me right now is a gentleman named Mr. Hiking Bob. Welcome in.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Now, I'm good. Thank you very much. And I assume you got the name Hiking Bob because you like to hike a lot.
I hike a lot.
Now, what got you into hiking originally?
I just, I love being outdoors, and I like going places where, you know, off the beaten path. So I tend to hike a lot to go out there. And I'm a photographer also, so I look for good places to take pictures. And one thing kind of leads to another. A good place to take pictures is a trail someplace I haven't been, and then that trail, you know, those pictures lead to another trail. And then, you know, so everything kind of rolls into everything else kind of. But I like being outdoors. I mean, we live in a beautiful place, and it seems kind of silly to stay inside when we got these mountains and forests right outside our door.
You're an avid hiker, you're a photographer, yep. And you also blog about everything you do.
Yep, I write a blog at the Colorado Springs Independent. It's roughly pretty much once a week. I occasionally miss a week, but pretty much once a week, comes out on weekends, and it has something to do about hiking and or outdoor activity. Occasionally, I write one about photography too.
And you detail all of your hikes, so it's really cool resource here in town because now I have access to all of these cool hikes that I wouldn't otherwise know about.
Yeah, I do. When I do all my hikes, I put them on my Facebook page. It's Hiking Bob on Facebook. And all my hikes are on there so people can see how many miles it was. There's a topo map typically of the trail. But then I also go into on the blog some of the better trails and write a detailed, more detailed description of those trails or a slideshow type description of the trail with pictures and a caption with directions or something like that.
Now, was this something that you always wanted to do, or did it just kind of come together?
I'm a firefighter by career. I'm just retired about a year ago. So, no, it wasn't. This kind of fell into my lap about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago at the Indy. They asked me to write this blog for them, and I said, I'll give it a shot. And almost 2 years later, we're still doing it, and they seem to like it, and the following is pretty good. So, see where it takes me.
Thank you very much for serving as a firefighter. How long did you do that, and was that here in the Springs?
I was a firefighter for a total of 38 years. I started in New Jersey, did some time in the military, and finished my last 18 years at the Pueblo Fire Department.
All right. Now, what was it like when you were in the fire department as a firefighter? So obviously this is a show about fitness.
Uh-huh.
Was there a lot of workouts and exercise that went into that?
There's a lot to get into the job because you have to pass a pretty strenuous physical agility test. After that, it just was up to you individually. And obviously, you know, you wanted to stay fit. And most of the stations had some weight equipment, a treadmill, things like that, that you could work out on. And you know, some guys are real animals and they're out there just, you know, doing the 300-pound bench presses,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Others try to maintain their flexibility more. But there's always some level of fitness going on. I tended to do a lot more of it off the job. And do it with the hiking and going to the gym and stuff because I didn't like being interrupted, you know, being in the middle of a workout or something and getting interrupted for a call. But I would still, when I got to a quieter station in my last couple of years on the job and it was a little quieter, I would spend a little more time working out there.
Now, just from a curiosity standpoint, was there ever a point in your career where you really needed to use some physical strength and actually put it to use, you know? Like,
oh, every day. I mean, if it's not fighting a fire and dragging a heavy hose through a building or lifting a heavy ladder, it was lifting a patient or carrying gear into a building. So every day you're using some level of physical activity, obviously, some more than others. I mean, if you're fighting a house fire, you're wearing another 100 pounds worth of equipment. You're dragging a 2-inch fire hose through a building that's charged with water. Water weighs 10 pounds per gallon, so it's pretty heavy stuff you're dragging around. So everything we did was physical in some form or another.
Now, do you find that hiking is a little bit easier than fighting fires?
You know, it can be, but I also tend to either go for harder trails, which means steeper or longer distances. If the trail's not too hard, I tend to go faster. So I upped my speed a little bit to get a little bit more of a workout out of it. That's when I'm by myself. When I'm in a group, obviously, then we adjust our speed to the group. But I did a Periscope one day, and I was hiking on a trail, and I'm Periscoping it so people will see the trail, and I get a comment, why are you going so fast? And I'm like, well, because it's a workout for me. This is my exercise.
Yeah.
So, you know, my question was, do you ask a runner why they run so fast?
Yeah, that's
But I
funny.
Get it, you know. So I do that. You know, that's kind of my fitness level. I was out hiking the other day, and I was on a nice steep trail. I managed to keep a solid 3 mile an hour pace uphill and downhill, which is not that easy. You know, that's my workout.
Yeah, that's what you do. Now, do you do any other strength training or anything? Or is
I do hiking? Some stuff at home. I've got some kettlebells at home and some DVDs that I'll do some workout there with some kettlebells and stuff like that. But as I get older and my joints get a little achier and stuff, I tend to lay off the weights. I used to be like, you used to do a lot of weightlifting and stuff, but that was a while back.
You got to slow down at some point.
Yeah.
But you can always do it safely no matter how old you get. I mean, I've seen 95-year-olds compete in powerlifting. And
oh, sure.
So, I mean, there's a way to do it healthily. But that's kind of what you use now as your exercise program, and that's what you're doing. But I'm curious, here in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. it gets snowy. Are you able to hike year-round?
You can in a lot of places, especially here in town, because we get so much sun. And as you know, we get some snow, and we may have some snow on the ground for a couple of days. And then after a few days, you know, with the intense heat, the sunlight we get, it melts off pretty quickly. Usually you just need a pair of like yak tracks, you know, traction things you slip over your shoes so that you can navigate on the snow and ice. I do carry a pair of snowshoes in the back of the Jeep, and I'll go snowshoeing when I can't go hiking. So I'll strap those on and hit a trail that's got 8, 10, 12 inches of snow and go snowshoeing on the trail. So, yeah, it's a year-round thing here if you want it to be. Snowshoes are a little pricey, so they're not necessarily for everybody, but the traction things for your shoes, maybe $20 to $45 for a pair of those, and they last you forever.
Yeah, that's very affordable. Now, with the snowshoes, are they kind of a one-time purchase, though?
Yeah, they can be. If you make sure you buy the right pair right from the get-go and get them sized right and get comfortable with them, you do that, and they should last you quite a long time. Pair I've had for several years now, and other than replacing a snap or two on there, I haven't had to do anything with them.
They're an investment. Yeah.
Yes.
And probably well worth it. Now, is there a learning curve when it comes to hiking, or did you just kind of go out there and go for it?
There is kind of a learning curve, being that we're not in a flat area. Obviously, we're on a hilly area, mountains and stuff like that, and at high altitude. You need to be accustomed to the altitude, and you need to kind of study the terrain of the trail you're going on and know when you're, you know, maybe a little too far out. So like any other program, like you would teach with somebody doing weightlifting, you've got to ease into it. The boots that you may wear around town, just to bebop around town and go shopping, may not be the best boots for really serious hiking over long distances. They may not give you the arch support or the ankle support or have the traction you need. So you want to make sure you have the right equipment. The best way to kind of figure that out is to go on a few shorter hikes, a little easier, then go a little longer and go a little steeper and work your way into it and then see how everything works for you. You may end up, I need a better pair of shoes because these just don't hold up that well.
Now, is that something that you talk about on your blog as well as equipment that might be useful?
Yeah, I have talked about equipment quite a bit. I had a bad experience about a year and a half ago with a pair of boots that turned out to be just the wrong pair of boots. And I tried to make them work and break and end up doing, you know, causing some severe strains. I had about a month and a half of physical therapy to get my ankle and everything back into shape. So it was one of those things. So after one or two hikes, I should have just returned those boots and gotten something else. So, yeah, I do write about that. And, you know, the appropriate clothing to wear, you know, wicking clothing so the sweat gets away from your body so you don't get hypothermic. You know, the proper layering of clothing. So clothing is an issue and you have to dress appropriately for it.
And do you take space blankets and space food with you?
Well, I carry something with me all the time. I always have some pack with some kind of stuff with me. The pack I have now it's still cold. It's winter. I have another layer of clothing in there, like a light sweatshirt. I do have space blankets. I do carry the cheap disposable rain ponchos. I do carry some little bags of trail mix and some bars to eat. Always carry some water. There's always something in there so that you can keep yourself, you know, have nutrition and have something to protect yourself from the elements and some water for hydration.
Yeah, I know that when I go on hiking, I always pack a lot of water. I take a camel pack, I take a couple bottles of water, probably way too much. I always have excess water, but I get really thirsty on hikes, and then I always take a snack too because I'm just always hungry.
You should always do that, especially if you're going on a longer, more strenuous hike. And the other thing you have to think about is if you may think, "Oh, I'm not going that far. You know, I don't need as much stuff," but you may get injured and not be able to move, and you may be stuck there for a while you know people are coming to help you. You're definitely going to need while you're waiting to have some kind of protection from the elements, especially if it's in the winter, and some food and some water while you're waiting for assistance to come to you. So you always have to kind of think worst case scenario. I know if I'm in Red Rocks, for example, and I get hurt, it's probably not going to be a long time before rescue gets to me.
Right.
You know, you're there in town, the fire department can get there pretty quickly, but there are other places. You may be backwoods, and it may be a while before you can A, summon help, and B, they can come and get you. So you need to have that in the back of your mind. What if I'm stuck here for a while? You know, how am I going to have some kind of protection and some kind of food and nutrition?
Yeah, and luckily there's a lot of volunteers here around that actually walk trails for that specific reason that I've heard of.
Yep.
Finding people that are either stuck or injured or just lost.
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine who lived in Colorado Springs, grew up here, knew the incline. He went away in the military, got married, came back, took his new wife up the incline. In the winter, it was icy, and they just didn't judge the time right, and so it's dark now, and they're stuck on the incline.
Yep.
But there was, I think, a retired Air Force officer that's just what he did. He hiked the incline to find stragglers, and he found them and helped them down and everything, but...
Yeah, a lot of the Parks Friends groups, and I was formerly the president of the Friends of Cheyenne Canyon, have different volunteers that go out there to walk the trails. You know, Friends of the Incline, I'm sure, do that, and they walk the incline and make sure everybody's okay there. And we did that in North Cheyenne Canyon Park. We have the park ambassadors who disperse along the trail and go looking and just touch base with people. How you doing? You know, you have enough water? You know, where you're headed to? Do you know what time you need to head back? It gets dark early, that kind of thing. So they're out there, but you can't always count that you're going to run into them at the right time. It's
right.
Sort of like what the joke about, there's never a cop around when you need one.
Uh-huh.
So you may be lucky enough and run into that person who can guide you out. I guided somebody out on Gold Camp Road about a month ago. She was up there new, and it was snowing real hard, and she was going the wrong way, so I had to take her back down with me. But it was lucky she ran into me, or she would have probably gotten herself in a little bit of hot water. So
yeah, that's scary stuff to think about.
Yep, it can happen. And you don't have to be too far from town to be out of communications and out of sight. You know, you only be 20 minutes away from the city, and you could be someplace pretty secluded.
Well, have fun hiking, but also be safe with it. So let's take a quick break here, Mr. Hiking Bob. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the joy of hiking. But first, let's check in with Vicki Morgan.
Hi, Drew. I'm working with a few clients who seem to have a hard time sticking to their meal plan. This is going to be kind of a serious note for me. It's really frustrating because I put together this whole meal plan for them. I measure out their macros. I even give them recipes and a shopping list. And you know what their number one excuse is? It's a good one. A lot of my clients live with their parents, and their mom cooks. And mom gets offended if they don't eat what mom cooks. Some of my clients have friends who like to party, and that means pizza, chips, burgers, and of course, beer. And then some of my clients work in an office, and every day is someone's birthday, which means cake. And when their manager rewards them with special treats, they don't get bananas and yogurt, they get donuts and caramel popcorn. And my clients are just afraid to offend the people around them, so they go ahead and eat these things. Now, for those of you who exercise regularly, you can pretty much work it off. A cheat meal is no big deal. But for the person who is really struggling, and you know who you are, the person who eats the food because she doesn't want to offend anyone and then excuses herself to the bathroom to get it out, or the person who can't just have a few bites. Once that feeding frenzy starts, she goes home and has an entire box of cookies for an appetizer. Then she cries herself to sleep because that hunger never truly does go away. She wonders how she's going to make it through 2 to 3 years of exercise and diet when the scale doesn't seem to move. She wonders if the fat will ever come off. Most of us know someone like that. We're afraid to say something about it because, let's face it, they know they're helpless and overweight. You or a family member might be one. This portion of the podcast is for you. So how do you think the homebound 600-pound people get food to their bed when they can't leave their bed? Well, their family brings it. Their family either lets the obese person choose what they want to eat, or they bring fattening foods to them. fish sticks, ranch dressing, rolls, red meats. It's not necessarily junk food, but it's fattening, and the cycle never ends. When you break it down, it's actually a struggle for control. This may come as a shock, but the first step to losing weight is not psyching yourself up for the diet. If you want to tackle your weight problem, the first step is to quit trying to please others. When you start making your own dinner or practicing portion control, your family and friends, they may put up a fight. So be prepared for this battle. Be willing to find new friends who don't drink. Be prepared not to attend office birthday parties. Be prepared to fight your kids as you serve healthy foods. If your spouse is controlling your portions, it's time to take that control back. Eventually, you will break that long-standing pattern of unhealthy eating. It can be stopped. And lastly, hire a personal trainer. Not necessarily me, but someone who's in your corner, preferably one who provides nutritionist-approved meal plans. You'll need someone on your side to cheer you on as you eat and exercise your way into a healthy lifestyle. The good news is, personal trainers are a lot less expensive than hospitals and doctors. Well, that's all I have for today. Have a great rest of your show, Drew.
Welcome to Under 10 Fitness, giving tips, tricks, and motivation when it comes to health and fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCNJ. This portion of the show is brought to you by the mountains, because in the studio right now is Mr. Hiking Bob, who spends a lot of time in those mountains exploring, looking around. You're a blogger, you're a photographer, you're a writer, and actually maybe a soon-to-be radio show host here on KCMJ.
Yep, we're talking about that. We'll probably have something coming up, more formal announcement about a month or so, but looks like I'll be having a short little show here once in a while about hiking and the outdoors.
No, that'd be a great resource because it's very familiar to us, and that's one of the things that I love personally about Colorado Springs is all of the beautiful hikes and places that you can just get out into nature. Now, would your show be similar to what you're doing now as far as all of the different hikes and things to remember when you're hiking?
It'll be some of that. Some of it may be some more general interest type of things. I may bring in some people who are big in the outdoor community, whether they be government or private or nonprofits, and bring them in and talk to them. So kind of be a wide-ranging type of thing. It may be an accompaniment to maybe a blog I'll do that week in The Independent, or maybe completely off, something entirely different.
Now, you found time to do all this hiking. You're a retired firefighter. Mm-hmm. You were doing that. You did that for 38 years. So thank you again for sure. Saving lives out there and doing what you did there. Now, you've actually done a lot of research when it comes to hiking, and you talked to tons of experts about the benefits of hiking. Mm-hmm. And what have you found that's that can be beneficial with hiking?
Well, about a year ago, I did a series of blogs at The Independent, and if people want to look at my blogs, they can go to my website, hikingbob.com, and there's a link right there to all my blogs at The Independent. But I did a thing about a year ago where I talked to different medical specialist about different aspects of outdoor recreation. So I talked to a cardiologist. I talked to a dermatologist about the effects on your skin. I talked to a nurse practitioner who specializes in orthopedic care. I talked to a mental health professional. And what I found was, and some of this is kind of common knowledge, if you're outdoor exercising, it's good for your heart. And we kind of know that, and it helps you lose weight, and that's good. We kind of know that. But it was interesting what I found out. The part that really interested me the most was the mental health part of it, was how much you benefit mentally by being outdoors. And I got into that because I remember that I'd be out hiking by myself and I'd be thinking and I'd have all these great ideas. And like, why am I having these great ideas? And I'd be writing things down or dictating them into a recorder on my phone. And it turns out that when you're out hiking, you increase your blood flow. We know that from the cardiovascular thing. Well, that gets your brain activity moving. The brain, more blood flow through your brain and the neurotransmitters start firing off, and you do have these moments of clarity, so to speak, and you can think a little clearer, and it helps your attitude, the serotonin that gets released and the dopamine that gets released. And I'm sure you talk about the runner's high that we've heard about before, people running. The same thing happens. You don't have to be a marathoner. You don't have to be a world-class athlete. Just being out there in the outdoors. And that goes along with the benefits of sunshine, actually having direct sunlight, the vitamin D effect, which has a positive outlook mentally for you. Plus, there's some other physical benefits from that. So it's pretty interesting what we found there. We also found that cardio-wise, besides the obvious, you know, your heart's pumping, you're getting sweaty, you're working up, you know, that's all also good for you, reduces, or at least there's some indications with some studies that it reduces certain types of cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was a really interesting group of studies about that. The bone and joint part of it, the orthopedic part of it, the benefits, obviously, moving is better than sitting around. My mom is in her late 70s. She walks 3 miles a day. She is in great physical health at her age, and it's partially because she gets up and walks around. She's just like me. She'll be like, I cannot stand sitting around the house. You know, it's the weather's been bad for 2 days. I need to get out and go and do something. And she tells me how much better she feels, not only mentally, but her joints are more flexible, and she's not suffering from some of those things other people her age are, like osteoporosis and things like
right.
that, because she's out moving around a lot. So there's so many different benefits that all come together. It's not just the cardio. It's not just being out there in the daylight. There's a lot of things, and they all kind of work together to make the whole person a more healthy person, whether it's just better outlook on life or physically being better. And we found that even if you go out on a long hike, you do 12 miles a day before, which is a long hike, and you're kind of sore, the best thing is maybe take one day off to rest a little bit, but the next day go back out and do another hike. Not 12 miles necessarily, maybe 3 or 4 and something a little easier, but keep everything moving
yeah.
so that you don't freeze up or those bones don't kind of like get like, hey, I kind of like this, not
yeah.
moving stuff, and stop moving, and your muscles stay in better shape. So it was a really good, interesting series, and I kind of knew some of the stuff, but I didn't know some of the details about it, which I thought was very interesting.
And again, you recorded all that and people can find it?
Yep. They go back about a year. It was about January of 2015 when I did that, when I started as 4 series in a row. And they're all on the blog, The Independent. You can go back there, like I said, from my website and find the link to it. And you can see all these different blogs and the information. They're real short reads and not overly technical.
Right.
Not going to bore you to death with all the medical terminology or anything, but I found it all to be pretty interesting stuff.
It boils down to hiking is good.
Hiking is good, and actually any outdoor activity. I mean, if you're a runner, it's good. If you're a cyclist, it's good. Any of those outdoor activities. Obviously, I focus on hiking. That's what I do.
Right.
But I do take the bike out once in a while. Not much of a runner. But, you know, you go out and do that kind of stuff, and anything you do outdoors in the fresh air, in the daylight, that keeps your heart beating a little faster, your joints moving a little bit, is going to have a beneficial effect on you in your entire life.
And I like hiking because it does put 3 things together in one. So as a trainer, I focus on 3 things, and that's strength, then your cardiovascular, and then obviously the mental portion of it.
Sure.
So when you're out there hiking, you're just in nature, and there's something to be said for being out there that's just good for the mind and good for you as a person,
yep.
right? To get that clarity that you spoke about. And then with hiking, obviously you're moving, and so that constant motion is going to get your heart rate up, and so that's good for the cardiovascular portion. And then if you're using any type of, like a backpack or anything, even if you only have 5 or 10 pounds of clothes or gear on you, that counts as strength training. So you're
sure.
adding the load to the muscles, which fights things, osteoporosis being one of those.
Yep, and it keeps you in better shape. The you know, the water is the heaviest thing you carry. Like I said, it's around 8 to 9 or 10 pounds a gallon, so you're carrying 3 liters of water, just about a gallon. You know, so it's a little bit of weight you're carrying on your back, and of course that's also not just weight though. It's also your hydration that you need, and some clothing and stuff like that. And it's that it's not only the movement, but it's the visual stimuli you get. There's a bird over there. There's an animal over there. I see a deer on the trail. Maybe you see a bear. Maybe not.
Yeah.
The things you hear, the sounds you hear. And if you're hiking with other people, it's even better yet because you're all experiencing it together. You're conversing. You're talking. You know, you're all having the same positive effect, and then you're all affecting each other. So there's the individual. Like I hike a lot by myself because it just, you know, not everybody wants to go the places I do, but it's also when you're with another group, you're all kind of talking to each other and you're all having a great day. And then it's kind of an effective thing. Like I'm having a great day and I'm talking to you because you're having a great day because we're all out on this great trail and having a good time. So everything kind of works together mentally and physically there. And it's a little bit of a challenge. I, you know, let's scramble up this over these rocks here and see what's up there, and let's take a look here. Oh, wow, look at this. Let's get some pictures, and let's do some selfies and stuff like that. And it's all real positive, I think. It's hard finding, other than getting an injury, hard finding a negative to being out there hiking.
And you get to solve a lot of problems, because if you're looking at a trail and you're like, I want to kind of hike over these little rocks and go around this tree, like you kind of you put your brain to work.
Right. And again, that's a positive aspect. You know, they've shown that solving puzzles and being, you know, visually stimulated is one of the things that helps prevent Alzheimer's or reduces the effects of Alzheimer's. So if you're out there and you're looking at this trail, and I've learned how to build trails, I've taken class on how to build trails. So now when I hike, I look at, yeah, you know, if we built this trail today, we'd probably angle it this way or maybe turn here or something like that. So now the mind is thinking, how would I make this trail a little differently? Like you said, you know, do I go over these rocks here or maybe go around this way and maybe, you know, not scramble over these rocks? It can get slippery and I might get hurt or something. So your mind is always working, and it's better for your brain to be doing that.
Yeah. So get out there and hike is, I think, the message here that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Why would you live here and not go out in the outdoors?
Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, I'd like to talk maybe about some essential equipment and then some of the other benefits of hiking. Again, I'm here with Mr. Hiking Bob. You can find him at hikingbob.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter at Hiking Bob. This is Under 10 Fitness. I'm Drew Smith, and we'll be right back on 93.9 KCMJ.
Under 10 Fitness is social. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under 10 Fitness.
And welcome back to Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. My name is Drew Smith, and I'm here with Hiking Bob. And you just told me that you went up to a butterfly pavilion. You kind of had limited access that a lot of people don't get, and you took some really amazing up-close photos.
Yeah, they have the butterfly pavilions up in Westminster off of the Boulder Turnpike off of Highway 36. And once a month, they have a morning where you can go there early. You have to reserve it in advance, but you can go there early if you're a photographer and have your tripods out on the walkways and stuff, which you normally aren't allowed to do, and take pictures of the butterflies and everything. So I was up there yesterday with my close-up equipment and all that kind of stuff and taking some pretty cool pictures.
Oh, I bet you got some great ones, and we can find those on Instagram at HikingBob.
At Instagram, it's at HikingBob_CO.
HikingBob_CO.
Yep. HikingBob_CO, and that's where I'm at on Instagram. If you follow me on Twitter, they all link to the Twitter account, so you'll see them there.
So just find one account, and then we can follow
you. If
you
find
the
Twitter account, you've got me there pretty well, and that's at Hiking Bob.
Now, you're working a lot in the hiking world. I know you're talking about an ebook that you're going to put together that's got all of these amazing trails.
Yep.
And those are going to be local trails and trails that you might have to drive a couple hours to get to?
Yeah, they're going to be mostly trails in the local area. They're not going to be the really common trails everybody knows about, but they're going to be some of the more, I don't want to say unknown trails, because, I mean, there's not that many, but there's going to be trails that you may not know about or that you may have heard of but aren't sure where they're at. They may be a little more challenging. They may have great views. There's going to be a positive to all these trails. So I'm working on the ebook now. It's some of it's being proofread, and the rest of it should be getting together, and hopefully around the beginning of May I'll have this out.
Well, I'll be sure to follow you on social media, because I'm sure you'll post them there, all the links to the ebook there.
Yep.
Now, I want to know if there are some essentials that I need for hiking to make the experience the best.
You should always be carrying a couple of absolute essentials, one of which is water and the other one is food. If you don't carry anything else, you need to carry water and food with you. It's a dry atmosphere here. You know that. I mean, people who've been here for a while know that we're, you know, two steps away from being in the desert, it seems like sometimes.
Yeah.
So the humidity is very low. You get dried out really, really quickly. So always carry some water with you. Always carry some kind of snack or food with you. Those are the absolute minimums. After that, you should always carry an extra layer of clothing, even in the summer. When it might be 90 degrees out here, as you experience a thunderstorm here, the rain that falls here is a cold rain. And usually right after a thunderstorm, the temperature drops pretty significantly. If you get stuck out in the rain and get drenched, you could actually in the summer become hypothermic, where your body temperature starts to drop. So you either want rain protection or another set of clothes if your clothes get drenched. I would highly recommend a poncho or something you can throw over yourself to keep the rain off of you. And stay dry during a rainstorm. Obviously some kind of communications, but don't count on your cell phone working. You could be pretty close by and your cell phone isn't going to work. A flashlight, obviously, you may be out during the day, but something may happen where you get stuck out there at night. You know, they get injured or you get lost and you're stuck out there at night. So you're going to have a flashlight so you can see what you're doing. I like the little headlights you can just strap onto your head. And this way it's hands-free so you can still, you know, have your hands open to move around with or whatever. So I like the headlight and I carry one of those with me. A whistle so you can signal for help. You may think you can scream pretty loudly. You probably can when you're first lost or hurt, but after you get tired and injured, that you're not going to be able to really yell there very loudly, but you can whistle really loudly, and it's very distinctive. So a whistle is also a good thing to carry. Those are the bare minimums. A small first aid kit's always a good idea. You may not be able to take care of major injuries with that, but cuts and bruises or blisters that you might get, it's always good to have a little first aid kit. So what I carry depends on the distance of the hike. I have a bigger backpack that carries more water and more stuff. For longer hikes, for shorter hikes, I have a small waist pack that carries a bottle or two of water and a few less things. But, you know, I gauge that based on, you know, how far away I'm going, how familiar I am with the trail, how difficult the trail is.
And those are things that are easy enough to gather and just put together in a bag like you talked about,
yep,
and have that in your car just ready to go.
Mine's always in the car. I when I get to a hike, I look at pick which one of those I'm going to take with me, put it on, and away I go. In the winter, don't forget also gloves, a hat. Headwear is always a good idea. In the summer, a broad-brimmed hat to keep the sun off of you so, you know, we don't have an issue with skin cancer. We do have an issue with that if you're not properly protected. So make sure you're wearing a nice big hat. And sunscreen all year round here. I mean, the sun's pretty intense, so wear sunscreen to keep your skin protected also.
Yeah, I bet more dangerous than running into a bear or a mountain lion or some kind of animal would be getting burnt.
You know, as many hikes as I do, I did 705 miles last year. I think I saw a bear once last year, and I cannot remember the last time I saw a mountain lion, and it's been a long, long time. So, yeah, the bigger issue is getting sunburned and ending up having to possibly deal with skin cancer or something like that.
Now, what would you recommend if I'm looking into buying some good boots? Because I want to take care of my feet. That's always the most uncomfortable thing when I go hiking, mm-hmm, is my feet. What would you recommend for boots?
Well, with boots, you pretty much get what you pay for. So keep that in mind, that a $50 pair of boots is going to be a $50 pair of boots. And they'll probably be okay for a while, but you're not going to get real good longevity out of them. I look at boots that have a Vibram sole, the Vibram brand sole, because they last a long time, and they're pretty tough. I look for good, tight ankle support, so I like the higher boots. And this is going to be a lot of personal preference, because a lot of people say, no, I don't like those, I like lower ones. But I like ankle protection, so I like boots that come up to the ankle that can be tied down pretty well. I like waterproof boots, and you'll see some stores say, oh, waterproof boots make your feet hot. There's a difference between the waterproof boots and the sealed winter boots. So when we talk about waterproof boots, talking about stuff with a breathable membrane like Gore-Tex, so they keep the water out of your shoes so your feet don't get wet, but they also let them breathe so as your feet get warm and they sweat, they release that. So I really recommend that. And go to a professional and have them size for you. An ill-fitting pair of boots, if you try those out, are not going to become a good-fitting pair of boots because you wear them more. Boots do need a break-in period, but if you're out there and after a few days of wearing those, they're just not feeling right, they're probably never going to feel right, and it may be time to go back to the store and see about exchanging them for something else.
Wow, it seems like you put a lot of thought and preparation into those boots.
I go through a pair of boots a year. At least one pair. And I have a couple pairs I wear, so I kind of cycle them. If it's a longer hike, I'll wear the stiffer boots. If it's a little shorter one, I'll wear something a little lighter. But I'll wear out a $250 pair of boots every year and have to buy a new pair.
Now, I've heard of some stores doing a used sale. Do mm-hmm. you know anything about those boots, and do you know if they're good quality and they can work?
You know, it always doesn't hurt to go check those out. They may be really good boots that, like, somebody wore them for a while and they just didn't fit them well and they weren't able to exchange them or return them, so they brought them there. Others may be heavily worn. So, you know, it's one of those things you're going to have to go look at them and see how they look. And, I mean, if you'll never see a pair of mine there, because when I'm done wearing a pair of boots, they are done.
They got a hole in the top, and your toes are sticking out.
Oh, I've worn holes right through the soles of them. I mean, they just go in the trash. I wouldn't feel right giving them to somebody, let alone selling them at a store. But the used equipment resellers here do a really good job of looking at the equipment and making sure that they're at least serviceable. But it's going to be a lot of you checking them out really closely and trying them out and seeing how well they fit and everything.
Yeah, and take them on a test run. Maybe on a shorter hike, that might be a good
idea. Yeah, I would try it on a short hike and get a feel for how they are. You'll know pretty quickly if the boots are not the right ones for you. And don't make them try to work. If they don't work, they're just not going to work.
Now, so in the list of things that you told me that I need to take, it's food, water, a little bit of extra clothes, some type of communication device, a cell phone or something, a flashlight, and a whistle. Now, I want to ask about your food section here. Is there something that you like a little snack that's one of your favorites?
There's two things I carry. Usually trail mix, and you can get big bags of trail mix and put them in little Ziploc bags. They have a good mix of different kinds of proteins and sugars and things like that. They're always good to carry. The other thing I carry, and I get these at the grocery store, are these little squeeze things. I'm trying to describe like a squeeze pouch of pureed fruit.
Okay.
Like Fruit Buddies, I think they call them. And basically, it's just pure fruit, so there's no additives, no sugar added or anything. But it's in a little pouch, and you unscrew the thing, and it's just pureed fruit, and you can just squirt it in there, and it's got some sugar in there. They're light to carry. They're easy. You keep them in the refrigerator. Take them with you. Throw them in your pack, and they're good to carry, too. Fresh fruit is always good. Carry an apple with you, a banana, something like that. On longer hikes, you're going to want to carry more food, so I'll pack a sandwich or something. And packed it in a bag for, you know, the really long, the 10 or 12 mile hikes. I'll carry more food because you're going to need more energy and you're going to get tired out quicker.
Now, I know the applesauce and fruit containers, squeeze-its you're talking about. Yeah. My nieces and nephews have those and they love them. But adults can have them too.
Well, they actually sell them, you know, some of them in the kids section, the kids food section.
Yeah.
But then in the grocery store at the King Supers, in the produce section by where they have the prepackaged, you know, the little containers of grapes and stuff they carry. They usually have them right there next to there, too. They have them little pouches and bigger ones. But they really are a good, inexpensive. And what I like is it's just pure pureed fruit. There's no additives to it. So it's, you know, if you're on those diets where they count, you know, your points and stuff, it's fruit. It doesn't matter. You can have all that you want. It's great stuff.
Yeah, and it's just a little boost of calories there. It's all natural, organic, good stuff for you. Your body will use it. Yeah.
Sure, if you need the energy, it's that pure sugar. It's that unrefined. It's just right out of the fruit sugar. It's great stuff.
I might just stop by a McDonald's on my way to my next hike and just give it a get a Big Mac or something fired in the backpack.
Sometimes I do that on the way back. It's like, I need something to eat.
Absolutely. Now, just personally, what is one of your favorite things about getting out into the wilderness and outdoors and hiking?
You know, it's just being out in nature. It's not being in a place where the air is being cycled through filtration system or an air. I mean, I have air conditioning and heat at my house and I love it, obviously, but it's something where the air is fresh. We are blessed with beautifully clean air here in Colorado Springs. It's being out where the air is fresh. The sun is shining. You can hear the birds and look at, I love being out here right now, this time of the year, spring, and starting to see the flowers starting to pop up. And before you know it, the Pasque flowers will be popping up and then more wildflowers. I just love that part of it. And being out on hitting a peak and looking out, and you have this great view drop down below you and stuff like that is really what I like being out there.
There's no mechanical hum. Like here in the studio, you can hear the lights humming above us. Yep. Anywhere you go in your car, there's some kind of noise. And what I notice and what I miss as a kid when I would hike a lot is it's just quiet.
Yep.
You hear nature, obviously, but there's this ambient sound, like that white noise. It's just gone when you're in the wilderness.
Yep, and you're alone with your thoughts, and you're not distracted by those other sounds. You know, the only thing you're distracted is by, hey, look, there's a deer. Hey, look at that bird. Hey, look at these flowers. That's your distraction. That's a great distraction to have.
Did you, and I mean, being a firefighter, you did that for 38 years. I think that they could probably be pretty therapeutic and a good stress reliever to get out there and hike.
There would be some days after a really tough shift where we had either a bad fire or a bad incident of some type, you know, a bad wreck or whatever happened that was pretty tough to deal with. Getting out there and going out there and being alone with your thoughts and or being with other guys, but doing something completely off the job was great therapy, and it really helped a lot. And it goes to that mental health aspect, get your brain flowing a little bit, you know, the blood flowing and everything. It's really great to have. So, yeah, there is some therapy, mental and physical therapy to being out there.
Yeah, we're very complex creatures, and I don't want to forget that. So it's good to mix the gym aspect of it. That's what we like to do. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I like to lift weights and look good and have muscles, but I do need to remember that I've got a brain in there somewhere, and I need to take care of it and de-stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a few better ways to do it. Like I said, and it doesn't have to be just hiking. I mean, if you're a cyclist, you know, you get a lot of that same thing. If you're a runner, you get a lot of that same thing. You're out there, your heart's beating, your muscles are moving, your joints are moving. All of that stuff the benefits are just incredible. And I think it's better than, and I'm not going to take anything away from mental health professionals. They're obviously a valuable part of society, but I've had mental health professionals tell me what they tell people to do is go outside and do something.
Yeah.
Because it's just pure relaxation for you.
Yeah, and enjoy the sun, because we've got it pretty much year-round here.
We do. We do. I'm not sure we get the 300 days of sunshine. They swear we do.
Right.
But I will tell you, we get a whole lot of sunshine, and it's there's not too many bad days here.
Yeah, and I'm too lazy to count. So if they tell me 300, all right, it's 300. I'm with it, guys.
I'll go with the Chamber of Commerce and push that.
Well, again, Mr. Hiking Bob, thank you for joining me on Under 10 Fitness here. Now, if I want to follow you and stay in touch, because the e-book's going to be coming out, so I'm going to want that, because I want to know where to hike. How can I get in touch with you? Where do I follow you, and all of the resources you have?
Well, my website is hikingbob.com, and I have a link there to my blogs at The Independent, and there's some information on there, and there's also a contact me link. So if you want to know about a trail or you have a question or something, feel free to send me an email by going to that. Twitter, it's @hikingbob. Facebook, it's hikingbob. And on Instagram, it's hikingbob, then the underscore CO, and you'll find me at any one of those places. And I'm pretty easy to get a hold of, so I respond to things as quick as I can. Usually, if you don't hear a response from me in like 8 or 10 or 12 hours, I'm on a trail someplace. But I'll get back to you when I get back.
As soon as you're off the trail, is that on your voicemail? Like, hey, this is Bob, I'm hiking, I'll call you when I'm done.
No, actually, my voicemail is a little different because I keep getting somebody else's phone call. So it starts off with, I'm not the person you think you're looking for.
Right, yeah, you got the unlucky cell phone number that one bill digit collectors offer. Are looking for him or something, yeah.
One digit off from somebody much more popular than I am.
Right. So, yeah, again, thank you very much. Now, are you ever considering doing guided hikes with people?
I'm looking at doing some of those this summer, spring and summer. I'm kind of waiting to see how my schedule is. I got some trips planned that I'm going to be going away on, so we're going to fit those in there. One of the things I'm going to be looking at, because I get a lot of interest in the photography part of it, so I may be doing some hiking and photography type thing. So we may go out on a hike and I'll give you some pointers on how to take, you know, wildflower pictures, for example. So I'm looking at doing some of those, but I'm looking at my schedule right now because I got a lot of places I want to go see too.
Right.
So I'm going to Moab in May for a couple of weeks and do some traveling around the national parks there and some other stuff coming up. So once I get all those things figured out, then we'll start plugging in the schedule.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned in at hikingbob.com. That's where we can find all of the content. Whether you're going to start doing this stuff, we can find it all there. So, yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and, of course, your blog, your writing, and then potentially you could be on the airwaves here on 93.9.
Looks like it's coming. We'll have an announcement here pretty soon, I think.
Well, I look forward to hearing much more from you. Again, this is Under 10 Fitness. That's all the time we have for today. We'll see you next time here on Under 10 Fitness on 93.9 KCMJ. As always, remember, stay motivated. Thank you very much again for listening to Under 10 Fitness. I want to make it easy for you to achieve your fitness goals. I put together some amazing workout videos at Under 10 Fitness in the members area. All you have to do is log in, complete the workout for the day, and you are done. Every workout for the entire month is put together, making it really easy. You don't have to do a lot of guesswork. Super simple. Anybody can do these. They're all bodyweight exercises, so you can do that at home. You don't need any equipment. And 20% of every membership goes to a nonprofit or charitable organization, making sure that we are helping those in need while we're also getting our bodies in shape. And membership, it's only $9.99 a month. So it's really inexpensive, and it's a really easy way to keep yourself in shape and make sure that you are doing the best thing that you can for your body and taking care of it. Again, I'm Drew Smith. This is Under 10 Fitness. As always, remember, stay motivated.